Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Halfway through the season now for IMSA. We're on RS1, IMSA Radio around the world. It's John Hindhoff with you and the team from the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Jeremy Shaw is with me in the Global Broadcast Centre, and Shay Adam is our VP Racing Fuels Pit Lane reporter. Let's go to Shay straight away and have a little bit of an update on what we're going to do. Actually, before I do that, see, I've forgotten how we do this because I've been away for a few days. Let's just remind you, listening on RS1 around the world, and if you want to get in touch with us, that was the thing I was going to say about the Twitter. It's at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us. It's the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Free Practice 2 coming up next live on RS1.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
I'll get the channel right as well in a moment. It's IMSA RS2 is the home of where we are. Hello, Shay. The VP Racing Fuel Pit Lane Reporter. At least I got that bit right. Bring us up to date with what's been happening. This is our first broadcast for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Quite a lot of ins, outs and shake it all about.
Yes, and hello, John. It has been quite an eventful day so far, and I'm doing a 24-hour
long day. Green flag is out, by the way.
We've got no Porsches this weekend. That is the biggest story of all, because the GTLM cars have been withdrawn from this weekend's event due to COVID-related issues arising from the 24 Hours of Le Mans. So only 4 GTLM cars. But Porsche remains a manufacturer represented in IMSA by the Wright Motorsport Porsche, which yesterday at the end of practice one was in the 4th position in GTD. So they are still looking strong, but we do miss the combination of Nick Tandy, Frederick McAvecky, and then Earl Bamber and Lawrence Vantor. Lawrence, who's actually watching the Nürburgring coverage from his couch for the first time in a very long time. So hello, Lawrence, who I'm sure will be tuned into IMSA Radio for this morning's practice to try and find out what the Corvettes and BMWs are doing. Now, as far as things that are more relevant to what we saw on track yesterday, we still have the 8 DPI cars out running around. It was a Cadillac that was fastest until the dying moments of the session, when Juan Pablo Montoya managed to get 2 laps in a row, one that he didn't manage to complete. Actually, he had a slight whoopsie in Sector 3. He backed it up with a fast lap. We had a fast lap time of a 1 minute 13.057. That was the fast lap for the prototype category. In GTLM, the Corvettes were the fastest cars, but running with a 1:19.6 for the 3 car. And fun fact about Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, it's a track at which neither Antonio Garcia nor Jordan Taylor has won before. Corvette Racing did not test the C8R at this track, which makes it the first track on the schedule that they have no previous experience from. Then we get to GTD. We have 12 GTD cars running this weekend. Only 11 of them went out on track yesterday. The Team Hardpoint Audi of Rob Ferriol and Spencer Pompelli discovered a slight electrical issue before they went out on track. They managed to get that technical issue fixed for today's practice, and they will be rolling out. And as a matter of fact, they are out on track now. I'm seeing on timing and scoring. Good news as far as that is concerned, but it means that they have lost already an entire 1 hour session. The good news, though, for them this morning, it's that session that you hate, John. It's the one that's complicated because it's cut into. You can go out if you have green hair on your left pinky toe sort of schedule. And because there are no LMP2 cars this weekend, the only cars out on track right now are GTD. And the only drivers behind the wheel of those cars are in the silver and bronze category.
Yeah, just confuse me. just completely confused me. We've had a lot of news this week. Obviously, the bad news about the Porsche is not turning up, but we totally understand about that. We're waiting for confirmation, but from what I've been hearing from sources close to the team, is they will be back for Charlotte and the rest of the season. And we've also had the announcement. Sorry, those cars are very loud there. We've also had the announcement, Jeremy Shaw, of the teams that are going to be taking over from Penske for the Acura DPIs next year. And it's three letter acronyms to the floor, to the fore, because it's MSC and WTR.
Yeah, isn't that exciting? Great to see the Meyer Shank team back in at the top level in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship with that Acura ARX05. That really wasn't a major surprise. What was a surprise was to hear that Wayne Taylor Racing is switching across from Cadillac to Acura for next season. That did come a bit of a surprise, certainly to me. I think that's, I think it speaks volumes for the seriousness with which Acura wants to stay in this category and potentially move forward. And, you know, I think they've made no secret of the fact, Acura, that they want to be at Le Mans. And with the rules changing, with the new LMDH coming in a couple of years' time, or a year or two, depending on how things pan out, then, you know, I think it bodes very, very well for the future of sports car racing in general, John. Yes, I agree.
What does that mean, however, Shea, for the GT Daytona program, the 86 out on the circuit at the moment with Matt McMurray behind the wheel? That's the Auto Nation, the pink and black car. What does it mean for that? Are we going to lose one or both of those GTD cars?
Yes. Meyer Shank Racing will not continue to run the NSX program as it is, a championship winning program and currently championship leading program. So that could be a big story as far as that goes. But Michael Shank has come out and said that any team who wishes to pick up the cars will only need to pick up the phone to ask questions about how to better run these machines. It was a fantastic outreach and a community service message, in effect. But we mustn't forget, we do have another Acura team running in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Gradient Racing, with Mark Miller and Till Bechtelsheimer. They're back this weekend. It's a sprint round only for that championship. They could pick up the mantle, and in theory, they could become the new junior Acura team.
Yes. Yes. I like the thinking there. I like the positivity. Team Hardpoint with some news as well, Jeremy. We're in the early stages of this. Cars are out on the track, but we'll go through some times in a moment. Just want to get you picked up on the what's been going on around the IMSA paddocks in the last few days. Team Hardpoint, we thought we were going to see those guys for the longer distance races, and it seems they've liked it so much they've decided to come back.
Yeah, absolutely right. And just briefly, you talked about cars on track. It's just the GTD cars out on track, right, at the moment, just the lower rated drivers, if you like. This is their 15 minutes of fame to get on the track before the prototypes and the GTLM cars join in the fun. Yeah, great news for Team Hardpoint there. They've expanded their entry into the Michelin Endurance Cup, so they will be doing Petit Le Mans and the Sebring 12 Hours this season. Of course, Spencer Pompelli is already committed to running the Michelin Endurance Cup races with the Magnus Racing GRT team, the number 44 car, along with John Potter and Andy Lally. So it will be an Audi factory driver, quote unquote, who will be joining Rob Ferrell along with TBD. So there's a very interesting bike available there, I think, for these long distance races, along with Rob Ferrell. It's great to see. I mean, he is totally committed to this IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship now with Rob, and, you know, he's really stepping up his game. And, you know, he's not racing this weekend in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series. He generally runs a GT4 Audi in those races as well, so kind of double the track time. Well, not kind of, double the track time over the weekend. Won't be triple this weekend because there's two Michelin Pilot Challenge race fun events coming up this weekend, which is fabulous for us. So, you know, he's really stepping it up, and great to see. It's certainly, you know, that is the bad news, that Acura with Mireshank Racing won't have its two cars here, but there is certainly, I think, a fair degree of optimism that someone will be picking up these cars for next year, and there's no doubt they're competitive. I mean, they won the championship last season, won the most recent race at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, did one of the two Mireshank Racing Acuras. So, you know, there's a great opportunity for somebody. And as Shay was saying, you know, Michael Shank, I mean, he's one of the most upstanding folks in this entire motor racing world, and if he says he's going to do something, he does, and you know, he will absolutely lay out the red carpet for anybody in terms of information who wants to run one of these cars moving forward.
But Aaron Taylor too has the best time at the moment, a 1:21.0 for him, Vasa Sullivan in that RCF GT3. That's the number 14 car. Robbie Fawley is out early on for Turner BMW, 1:21.5 for him, 1:22.1 for the McLaren. Good to see Compass Racing back with the number 76 car. Corey Fergus is just ahead of Matt McMurray for the first of the Mireshank Racing with Kerb Agajanian. That's the number 86 Acura, 1:22.588. The team car, 1:22.813. Are you getting the idea of how close this is going to be? With Till Bechtelsheimer just behind Misha Goitberg in fifth and sixth position. And as I say that, John Potter improves to sixth for the Lamborghini of GRT Magnus. Lovely day with the air temperature just over 21 degrees Celsius and 36 on the track, although humid at 78 degrees here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Lovely part of the world. Limited numbers of spectators being allowed in, but there's plenty of RVs in all the good spots, I've noticed, and also huge amount of racing tomorrow. We've got the WeatherTech qualifying on Sunday morning, then the WeatherTech race, plus, of course, as Jeremy said, we've got two of the Michelin Pilot Challenge races, plus some of the Challenger Series races as well. Through the carousel and on to start another lap then for Robbie Fawley in the BMW. And they've had an interesting season, I think it's fair to say, but always competitive, and that's what everybody wants to see. GTD running to international GT3 specifications, and that ensures pretty much, doesn't it, Jeremy, that we get plenty of action. The GT3 and in the Pilot Challenge, the GT4 has been absolutely extraordinarily close this year.
Oh, it has. It's been absolutely mega. And, you know, yesterday in the first practice session, yesterday evening it was, pretty cooler conditions right at the end of the day. The sun was almost going down by the time the checkered flag came out. But the top nine cars in GT Daytona separated by just around about 0.4 seconds. So it's not a particularly long lap here at Mid-Ohio, but it is 81 seconds or so. So, you know, it was incredibly tight. It's fabulous to see.
Yeah, it was very close yesterday. I noticed watching the timing yesterday, as we love to see. So the Riley car out at the moment as well. That's the number 74 Riley Motorsports AMG GT3. Gar Robinson behind the wheel of that. And good to see the number 30 hard point. We mentioned that, Spencer Pumpelly, in that multicolour grey with the Audi Sport lozenges on that new car colours as well. And that is new colours for that car. I was just about to say that, Jeremy. New colours for that car this week.
Yeah, it looks like it to me. It's generally had more red in it, didn't it, coming up to this weekend. So curious to know why that should be. Maybe is this, I guess, I mean, it was already pretty close, I would have thought, to Audi kind of factory colours on that car beforehand. So we'll have to chase why there is that colour scheme change this week.
It may be a new sponsor, I think, and that possibly as well, just explaining why they've decided to do more races as well. There's a very pronounced X on the side of that car, which I presume is somebody's logo, logos on the side of that car. But as you say, making good use of the Audi Sport colours with the two-tone grey, the red and the white lozenge. Very prominent on that car as it goes across the line into the tremendously committed turn one, almost lifting the left rear Michelin off the ground there. Now heading up towards the keyhole. Mid-Ohio looking in pretty decent condition. Had the IndyCar series very recently as well, and have reacted very quickly. That IndyCar race put on at very short notice, and very impressive to me that they've been able to put these races on as they are. If you're at the track at the moment listening to us, thank you very much for supporting the circuit and the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, indeed the IMSA weekend here for the Acura Sports Car Challenge. And at the moment, it's still Aaron Tielitz. Did improve, though, a couple of laps ago, down to 120.4. And last time around, he did a 120.6. So Aaron Tielitz at the front of the field in that Invasa Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3, Jeremy. Not just quick, but consistently quick. And they'll be pleased to see that in the team.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Aaron that's another car that's got not different colours this weekend, but a new name on that side of the car, new at least to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Rice Lake Weighing Systems, who've been with Aaron, well, pretty much since he started his racing career, has come on board as a team's primary sponsor this weekend. That's a great commitment from that company. They're from northern Wisconsin, which is where Aaron is from originally. As I say, they've been back here for a long time, and I think Mark Johnson Jr. and all the folks at Rice Lake, they've built a great relationship with Aaron. And I think initially they were with him, he was on the kind of road to Indy. They're aiming at IndyCar racing, but Aaron is doing such a great job here, and it's such a great opportunity for him to be driving for the factory supported team here with Aim Vassar Sullivan and Lexus, that they've seen the benefits of being involved in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship as well. So super to see that those new colours for Aaron Tielitz.
Crossing the line now and heading into turn one, Ian James behind the wheel of the Aston Martin V8 Vantage. This the 23 car for Heart of Racing, as ever, bringing and shining the light on some great work that goes on at the Seattle Children's Hospital. The cardiac specialists there making real differences to children's lives. And that car rumbling down the back straight at the moment in behind the Acura NSX of the Myshank Racing team. Through madness now, good smattering of crowds on the banking there. Hello to you all, and thank you for being socially distanced. Notice that was very well observed at the IndyCar race as well. And with then the first 15 minutes having elapsed now, we roll out the big bangers. Here come the DPIs, and the prototypes have been released. Ollie, along with the other other pro class, the GTLMs, and Ollie Gavin has taken out the number 4 Chevy Corvette, Jordan Taylor in the 3. And interesting to me, Jeremy, reading this week from various bits of press releases from Corvette Racing, and also speaking to Ollie last weekend in our Hagerty Radio Le Mans coverage as well, Corvette have not tested that new car here at Mid-Ohio, so this week is a bit of a voyage of discovery for the C8R.
Yeah, certainly interesting, isn't it? And they've got a wealth of experience. They've from here in the past, and they've rated enough tracks now this season to know what part of the setup, if any, from the C7R can be applied to the C8R. I mean, not much, obviously. It's a completely different format of car, but certainly they know what changes they have to make at the other circuits from the 7 to the 8. So I think they're going to come in here, even if they haven't tested, they'll have got plenty of simulation time here, and they'll be in good shape. Talking of new colours, by the way, we just saw number 85 car for JDC Imola Motorsports. That's carrying new colours this weekend as well. So white, red, and grey. And that car, Tristan Vautier, having driven the number 5 JDC entered Mustang sampling car at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for the 6 hours a couple of weeks ago. Tristan Vautier now back in the number 85 and being joined this week by Gabriel Aubry, the young Frenchman who had another strong run, I think, at Le Mans last week. And he's had a handful of races in LMP2 in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, moving up this weekend for the first time to DPI.
You want to get in touch with us at IMSA Radio, please, on Twitter. WeatherTech Championship practice out on circuit at the moment. There was a practice yesterday as well. And so this is the second bite of the cherry, if you will. But these extremely shortened up weekends, there's no third practice. They will go into qualifying and that is on Sunday. And this is interesting, Jeremy, having the practice today and yesterday, the qualifying Sunday, and then effectively going into the race the same day. So that's going to really put the pressure on for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship runners when they go out to qualify tomorrow, knowing that the green flag is not that far away.
No, that's very true. I have to say, it's a bit of a bizarre schedule, having just the 1 hour, basically hour on track for each of the cars during this hour and 15 minute session today, with it's kind of staggered, as we talked about earlier on. But to just that's all there is today, which seems a bit odd to spin it out over 3 days when two might quite easily have done. But yeah, there is a lot of racing this weekend with the additional Michelin Pilot Challenge race as well. This is a double up weekend, first time that has ever happened in the Michelin Pilot Challenge series, and of course there's also the prototype challenge series here as well this weekend. So it is, as always, a busy weekend of IMSA competition.
So the prototypes out on the circuit, give you some of the drivers out there. Renger von der Zander is in the Konica Minolta Cadillac, and how many times are we going to get that wrong next year when they change to their new manufacturer? Jordan Taylor in the Corvette number 3, I think we mentioned that. Ollie in the 4, Sebastian Bourde in the Mustang sampling Cadillac, with Tristan Vautier in the JDC Miller Motorsports car, that's the bright yellow number 85. Who else have we got out there? We have got Juan Montoya out in his Acura team, Penske number 6. No, actually, he's not. He's still in the pit lane, but Ricky Taylor has just left the pits for Acura team Penske. John Edwards and Conor DeFilippi and Jonathan Bomarito and Tristan Nunes for BMW, Mazda, and Mazda all still sitting in the pit lane. And as I say that Montoya hasn't left the pits, Juan Pablo does indeed leave the pits. Top of the pile at the moment for Felipe Nasr for Whelen Engineering, ahead of the glossy black number 10 Cadillac from Renger von der Zander. Times, there's Seb Bourdais going through. What sort of time should we be looking for, Jeremy? We're into the mid-15s, 1 minute 15.5 for Seabus. Is that a competitive time, that 1 minute 15.5, Jeremy, for Seabus? Okay. Seem to have lost Jeremy for the moment. Let's head down to...
I'm sorry,
to,
John. I'm with you now. I beg your pardon. 1:13.0 was the time set yesterday by Juan Pablo Montoya. 1:12.410, the race lap record that was set last year by Oliver Jarvis. Oliver also on the pole for Mazda in 2019 at 1:10.705, so a long, long way to go before we get down to those competitive times yet.
Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, and again, thank you very much to all of the PRs and media delegates for the various teams who. Most of whom are working remotely and making sure that Shea has all the information. What's the early stories coming out of the paddock, Shea?
Trying to figure out if the BMWs were laid out on the track because their drivers were distracted by watching the coverage of Nürburgring. I was seeing many videos of them doing that yesterday, which was very, very amusing. But now, Jesse Krohn out behind the wheel of the 24, and Conor DeFilippi, race winner last time out at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, of course, in the 25. So we have all the GTLM cars out on track. Both of the Mazdas just leaving the pit lane, which means that 24 cars out on the circuit out of a possible 24. We do have some of the GTD cars coming back in the pit lane now for setup changes and whatnot, but it means that everyone will have turned a lap, so no mechanical issues, at least so far, knock on wood.
Good, excellent. That's what we like to hear. As the times will start to come down, JDC Miller Motorsports number 85, now down to a 12.9. Also down to a 12.9. Felipe Nasr in the 31, the Whelen, the red and white car. 13.8 is the next best time. So the two Cadillacs, the 85 and the 31, Jeremy, getting down to business, I think, is the correct terminology for that.
Yeah, that's right. We've already got then two cars faster than yesterday, and Sebastian Bourdais equaled the best time from yesterday, was set by Juan Pablo Montoya. Interesting, isn't it, that Vautier should go to the top, because he was slowest yesterday in that number 85 car, eighth quickest at a 1:14.5, so he's found already a second and a half, as Felipe Nasr goes to the top now with a 1:12.451. So, you know, it's a fickle racetrack here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. It's very dependent in terms of grip on ambient conditions here, and it can vary over the weekend, even if there isn't any rain. So, it's certainly gripping up, I think, compared to yesterday. We've got times now nearly a three-quarters of a second faster than yesterday, or in some cases, much quicker than that. And that's certainly the case for Tristan Vautier.
Well, we were trying to get you up to date earlier on with what had been going on in the days leading up to this IMSA WeatherTech Acura Sports Car Challenge here at the Sports Car Mid-Ohio course. And there is a significant marker this weekend here. And as well as the Porsches not being here from Porsche GT North America team, well, there are still some of the Porsches here, and Porsche have supported IMSA in its various guises for very many years. And certainly all the time I've been watching it, Porsches have been part of it, but so have Ferrari, and Ferrari aren't here this weekend, at least not in this championship, because there's no 63 WeatherTech car.
There are no Ferraris running this weekend at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, which is the first time on an IMSA weekend that they have not had a prancing horse in the race for nearly a decade. So it is a long streak that's been broken. But Scuderia Corsa, who run Cooper McNeil and Tony Vallander in this championship, they are focusing on Cooper McNeil's other championship in which he competes, the Ferrari Challenge. This date was always one that, before anything even kicked off back in January when the calendars came out, this date was always going to be a clash. The initial plan was for Cooper McNeil to skip one of the Ferrari Challenge races to run the WeatherTech race and then fly back across the country to do the other Ferrari Challenge race. Well, given that he has a perfect record in Ferrari Challenge coming into this weekend, every single pole, fast lap, and race win in the Trofeo Pirelli class, he's elected to focus solely on that championship to try and sweep the season. It's understandable, but it is disappointing, especially considering that he and Tony are fifth in the sprint championship coming in, and Ferrari were fourth. There are no Ferraris this weekend, which means that Ferrari is going to drop completely out of contention for both of the GTV championships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an interesting choice. I'm not sure I completely understand that one. Cooper's won that Ferrari championship a number of times in the past, and he races at a far higher level than most of the other competitors there. I understand his affiliation with Ferrari, but I think he had a decent lead in that championship as well, to be honest. But, you know, those that pay the piper call the tune, and you do literally pay your money and take your choice in motor racing sometimes, and then those are the choices that have been made. Actually, I think the Ferrari would have done very nicely around here as well. It's a nicely balanced car, and around these circuits, these tight and twisty circuits in the past, they've done rather well, to be honest. Let's go back to the times. Times are tumbling, Jeremy. 1:11.587 for Renger von der Zander in the number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac.
Yeah, we're really getting out of business now. It's a full second and a half quicker than the best time yesterday. Just going back briefly to that Cooper McNeil decision. Yeah, it is an odd one, isn't it? Particularly as he's the WeatherTech is the primary sponsor of this championship. Sledgehammers and nuts kind of spring to mind in terms of him chasing the Ferrari Challenge. But look, you know, everybody loves, or just about everybody loves, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. So, you know, who would pass up an opportunity to go there? And, you know, I think it was more the fact that the COVID-19 thing has just made the shuffling back and forth thing more difficult this year in the past. I think it was actually when we were here last year, coincidentally, you know, it's a different time of year, there was the same clash. I think it was here. And he flew back and forth between the two races. He kind of missed out on some of the practice sessions here, but was able to do both. But with the COVID-19, that's a lot more difficult now. So certainly understand that decision. It's a shame that car isn't here, because it certainly isn't the same, is it, to have a WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race without a Ferrari at all?
Let's just check some of the other classes as well, as Sébastien Bourdais has come into the pitch. GTLM at the moment, Jesse Kron for BMW team RLL. They lead from Jordan Taylor in Corvette Racing. Then it's Conor DeFilippi and BMW team RLL and Ollie Gavin. Remember, just the four cars in GT Le Mans. No Porsche North America GT team. And the COVID-19 issues that they had, and somewhat ironically, of course, the three team members who tested positive straight after Le Mans on the second test were actually cleared. But of course, by then, and rightly so, because you can't take chances with this. Porsche had already made the decision not to travel. It's left one or two Porsche drivers without the opportunity to drive. Although Earl Bamber, of course, who was supposed to be here, but didn't go to Le Mans in any capacity, either as a Porsche driver or driving elsewhere, he was able to snag himself a drive at the Nürburgring and just jumped into the KCMG Porsche. So he has managed to find some gainful employment. Had a quick chat with Earl earlier in the week, and it all came about, as you might imagine, in a blink of an eye. There's some disappointment, I think, having talked to three out of the four of the North America full-time drivers, some disappointment that they wouldn't be here to contest. And they have had a difficult championship, but Jeremy, you've got to see. Well, wait, wrap up.
Sorry, I missed you there, John.
The Porsches, they've certainly had the pace to do better than the results they've actually received this year, the GTLM cars.
Yeah, it's been a really disappointing year, hasn't it, for them, John? They've had the pace, as you say, on a lot of occasions, but just haven't translated them into results. And it's really, you know, a major surprise that they've been on the podium in every race, but haven't yet got the first win for the team that year, and a major surprise. And you know, we're not going to be seeing the factory Porsches in evidence next year, which is a shame. But hopefully they will be back for these final few races of the season, John.
So that's Jeremy Shaw. He's with me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Pit and Paddock reporter. Some good news from Porsche. We spoke earlier in the week to Dr. Daniel Ambruster, the man at the head of the Porsche Customer Racing in the States. And next year we'll debut under the IMSA banner the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, bringing together the Canadian and American championships. They'll be running on Michelin rubber, including having the new 992 Cup car, which I'm very excited to see. And as well as the Pro Class, there'll be a Pro Camas. Pro-Am class, easy for me to say, and that will be eligible to what is pretty much the Masters category at the moment, and you will be able to run either the 997 Gen 2 car, which are the Platinum cars at the moment, or the new 992 in that. But I think significant, Jeremy, is the commitment to the Young Driver Programme, where any driver who enters the championship under the age limit will be part of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America Young Driver Programme. They aren't being selected early on. They'll all have the opportunity to benefit from classroom, from technical briefings, etc. And then at the end of the year, it gives the opportunity for one of them to go to Europe for the shootout, having raced all year on Michelin tyres, which is, of course, what all of the other series race on.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? And I gather there's been a huge amount of interest in the Carrera Cup in North America for next season. I believe all the cars have been sold pretty much the moment they went on sale, which I think was unofficially was a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting addition to the IMSA package next season. And, you know, judging by the racetracks they're going to, it's going to be a fabulous year of racing, I think, for Porsche. But it is great to see them having some sort of a commitment here to young drivers, and, you know, that they are going to, you know, looking to give some youngsters a help. The bad news, of course, it costs an awful lot of money to get into that championship in the first place. But still, you know, any help is better than none at all. So, you know, hats off to Porsche for that. Out on track here, we've still got Ryan Briscoe, who has set the fastest time. We're 11.587 and number 10. Konica Minolta Cadillac overall. That car is in the pits at the moment. We're watching the two Lexuses, which are running first and second in GTD. They are 13th and 14th on the timing charts, as would expect. It's all DPIs at the front, then the four GTLMs. Jack Hawksworth quickest so far, 120.465. And that is faster than the lap record in GTD, the race lap record that Jack himself set here 2 years ago. The pole time last year for GTD was a 1:24.2, but that was in damp conditions. The qualifying lap record was set by Jack Hawksworth back in 2018, also a 1:19.317. So we're still a ways away from that, but certainly the Lexus for Ian Vassar-Sullivan, first and second at the moment, ahead of Mario Farnbacher, winner last time out, of course, at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for Meyer Shank Racing with Kerbagger Jr. And that's the Acura kind of 86.
Yeah, and thank you, Jeremy, because I did start to go through the classes and then went off on a Porsche tangent. So thank you for dragging me back into GTD. You're listening to IMSA Radio on RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Lovely to have your company. We're in practice two for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship at the Acura Sports Car Challenge at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course.
Fastest in GTLM at the moment then is Jordan Taylor in the Corvette car number three. Actually, all four of the GTLM cars are on the pit lane at the moment as we watch Ryan Briscoe back out on the racetrack now, having set the fastest time at 111.587. In second position, actually second, third, fourth and fifth place cars all on pit lane at the moment. The two Acura Team Penske's are Juan Pablo Montoya's turn at 111.7, 112.0 for his teammate Ricky Taylor. And then in the fourth position, Felipe Nasr, the Wheel and Engineering Cadillac car number 31 at 112.0 also, and a 112.2 for the best of the Mazdas. That's Harry Tinknell in car number 55. The Englishman, of course, coming off a win last week at Le Mans 24-hour race, his second win at Le Mans, his first this time, the initial win a few years ago was in LMP2. This time, of course, the win with Aston Martin Racing in GTE. So a tremendous performance for Harry Tinknell. But this is his first time here at Road Atlanta, at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Each of the past 2 years, this race has clashed with the Spa WEC race. So that had been his priority, driver for the Ford factory team in the World Championship. So this time, finally, Harry gets to turn some laps here at Mid-Ohio. Clearly loving it, I think, isn't he, Shay?
He really is. And Jeremy, did you see the gesture that was made by his Multimatic teammates, including Raj Nair and everybody involved in the Mazda program? They know that when you win the 24 Hours of Le Mans, you get a watch, you get a Rolex for winning the race overall. And they felt that Harry was due a watch too for winning the GTE class, now a winner in two separate categories of the race. So they bought him a watch. That was significantly less money than a Rolex, but they still engraved the back of it to say 24 Hours of Le Mans winner, so he can never let go of it, even though it was probably a $20 Timex or whatnot.
Yeah, cool story. And I'm sure that Harry is enjoying his time here. He spent some time on the super duper new Multimatic simulator up in Detroit prior to coming down here to Mid-Ohio. It's only about a 3 or 4 hour drive from the new Multimatic base there in Motor City. But he'll be well tuned in for this track, and I know he was looking forward to coming here for the first time in proper competition.
Very much so. Juan Pablo Montoya is into the pit lane right now. A setup change going on for the number 6 Acura Team Penske, currently sitting in second. But once he goes out, he's going to have to make another trip back down the pit lane because of a speeding violation. He was only 2 kilometers an hour over the limit, but it is a drive-through this time, which means that they have had multiple transgressions and race control has decided enough with the warnings for that car. So now they are starting to call them back in for drive-through penalties. That's pretty severe.
Sorry, I missed that. Shay, who was getting a penalty?
Montoya in the number 6.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, only 2 clicks cool. over, but already called a penalty.
Yeah, as you say, he'll have had a warning prior to that as well.
Yeah.
In GTLM, there's still Jordan Taylor leads that 1:18.914, and that is faster than Laurens Vanthoor's race lap record set last year at 1:19.0, but still a second away from John Edwards' pole position set back in 2018 at 1:17.853. So that's the benchmark time for GTLM.
In terms of GTD, I'm relieved to see the 86 Acura shared by Mario Frombacher and Matt McMurray jump back up into third position. Matt did set the time before he got out of the car, but earlier on they were running at the bottom of the class and it was 1.6 seconds off the pace. Well, now it's a whopping 6/10 off the pace down in the third position behind the 2 Lexuses. So that's a good improvement. And the other car that I'm keeping one eye on is the Compass McLaren. Car number 76, currently down in the 7th position, just came into the pit lane with Paul Holt, and they're going to do a slight
Mario
set of change as well. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead. Well, the reason I'm watching the Compass McLaren is because that car is driven by Corey Fergus, who is a local driver. Corey, who is a third-generation driver with 2 pole positions already to his name this year, looking to try and get another one at his home track and also trying to get a top 5, if not podium, finish.
Yeah, you're right, Shay. Corey Fergus has a lot of laps around here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. I think he makes his home these days in Colorado, but the rest of the family is based here still, some of the time when they're not in Florida. He always relishes the chance to race here at home. And as you said earlier on, there are some fans here this weekend. It's not a full crowd, but I think it's 6,000 fans are allowed to come here this weekend, same as it was a couple of weeks ago when the NTT IndyCar Series was here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course.
The 25 BMW with Connor DeFilippi circulating around the track, trying to give himself a little bit of space to go for a lap time. I made a joke earlier about the fact that the BMW drivers were pretty much flipping a coin to decide who had to go out to start this session because the other ones really wanted to keep watching the Nürburgring 24-hour coverage and continue to cheer on their co-drivers. Turns out it wasn't a joke. John Edwards sent me a picture, and they have a full setup back in the truck with multiple TV screens, including one showing the track action out here and one that shows the data coming off the cars. But it seems that the co-drivers, Bruno Spengler and John Edwards, were allowed to sit back in the truck and slightly distract themselves elsewise, Jeremy. They didn't have to fully concentrate on this practice session.
Slightly bizarre to me, but it's certainly a big race there, the 24 hours, and I'm sure they'll be watching the junior team is there as well, of course, aren't they? Running a GT4 BMW at the Ring 24 hours, and I think the junior driver's got an opportunity, did they not, to drive some of the historic BMW cars earlier in the week, including former 2 cars from, I think, Mark Schurer, who was part of the original BMW junior team back in the 70s. Mark Schurer was there as well. They were driving one of his Formula 2 cars. That would have been a pretty cool experience.
That would have been awesome. Well, and it's funny when you think about these junior teams and junior drivers as well. People like Timo Bernard was a Porsche junior. So that kind of makes him always a Porsche junior, despite the fact that he's now one of the senior members of the factory squads. into the pit lane finally has come Ryan Briscoe in the number 10 Connick Minolta Cadillac. And hopefully we'll be able to get a word with Wayne Taylor tomorrow on the countdown to green. So stand by your phones on that one.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Sorry, Jeremy.
John.
And welcome back. I have Maria. I have been nowhere. I have not moved an inch. thank you, Shane.
Your connection has been. It's been AWOL.
You could say an awful lot about that down through the years, but we probably should leave that out. Thank you for that VP Racing Fuels Pit Paddock Report, Adam. Well done for keeping going. I'm just looking. We've got just over half an hour remaining. Still that Ryan Briscoe time, that 1:11.587. But we've got Dave Cameron going back out, the Acura Team Penske in the number six car, Jeremy. That's got the 1:11.7 to its name. So as our old friend Chuck Dressing used to always say, they're starting to throw overhand now. This is getting rather serious.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it, now? And, of course, the Acuras, this is kind of a home race for this team. I mean, Acura Team Penske, the cars are based in North Carolina these days, but and Acura's home base is in Southern California, but the Marysville manufacturing and research plant is only about 40 miles away, so there's always a huge amount of support here for Acura at this event. Plus, of course, they've had some success here since Mid-Ohio returned to the IMSA WeatherTech sports car schedule a couple of years ago. Acura is unbeaten. It was Ricky Taylor and Elio Castroneves that won in 2018, and last year, finally, Juan Pablo Montoya and Dane Cameron able to get their first win for Acura since its return to this championship, and of course used that as a springboard to go on to win the championship. So they're looking for three in a row here this weekend.
As Jeremy Shaw, he's with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, as we're watching the last half an hour or thereabouts of the second free practice session for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. It is the Acura Sports Car Challenge weekend. Thank you for joining us. I know that there's an awful lot going on this weekend, so if you are choosing to spend your time with IMSA, we are very pleased to see and hear you, and particularly those of you who've come to the track and voted with your feet and put fuel in your cars or your trucks or your RVs. I know that we're playing out over the very efficient PA system here at Mid-Ohio, where it is a smashing day, 22 degrees Celsius in the air, a very pleasant for the Michelin tyres, 35 degrees C. Very good indeed. And just at the moment, the Acura heading down the curving back straight. I ask this every year and nobody's told me otherwise yet, so I'm going to continue to say it. I believe that Mid-Ohio is unique in the fact that it has a start line that is different from the finish line. Now, I know people will say, oh yes, but there's some places where the start line's not the same. Kota has the start line right at the end of the start-finish straight, but the finish line's right at the beginning. Yes, I don't mean that. This is in a different part of the track, and I can't think of a natural terrain road circuit, or indeed any racetrack, Jeremy, that has that particular feature other than here at Mid-Ohio.
No, nor can I off the top of my head, certainly. But it's interesting. I mean, some series do use the start-finish line, which we're going past right now. There is the time and sound of the green flag. Maybe it was a blue flag, was it, being waved?
Blue flag,
GT cars as the prototypes go past. Some series do use the traditional start-finish line, and some don't. The IndyCar series does use the back straight on the run. Basically, it's turn three, the kink on the back straight, as does the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. But the Road to Indy uses the regular start-finish line. So there's certainly a convergence or a divergence of opinions on where the start line should be.
Yeah, Rob Lomas, who's our producer in our main control room in London, says it used to be like that in Anderstorp in the 1970s, if I remember correctly. He's a nerd, but he's our nerd. He keeps coming up with these motor racing, tremendous motor racing factoids. Rob, that's absolutely brilliant.
I'm not going to say it's before my time at Anderstorp in Sweden, but I certainly never had the opportunity to go there, which is a shame because they had some great races, particularly back in the 70s there for Formula One.
Could you imagine the chaos, though, Jeremy, if they tried to throw the green flag coming out of the carousel onto the pit straight in IndyCar and in IMSA?
Well, there's always chaos when they get down to turn four, isn't there? So I really don't think it makes that much difference, to be perfectly honest.
Good point.
I always used to remember the amount of logistics that it required for Dennis Paul, our then starter.
No change then at the top. It's still the number 10 car that is fastest. 111.587. That was set a while ago now by Ryan Briscoe. That was on his eighth lap. He's completed 20 now. And we have 26 minutes remaining in this second practice session of the weekend for this weekend's Acura Sports Car Challenge.
Which means, of course, we only have 11 minutes for the GTD cars because they will be parked or... No, yes, 15 minutes. The last 15 minutes are for the professional classes only. Just looking to see who on the timing screen are names that we perhaps haven't yet seen. And the one that jumps out to me, we've got Gabby Aubrey behind the wheel of the number 85 JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. So that's a car to keep an eye on because Gabby, as you said, Jeremy, he has won twice in the LMP2 category, but this is the first time that he's driving the bigger version of the prototype. So let's see how he can adapt. Last weekend was a bit of a heartbreak for Gabby, who led for the first time ever in his class at Le Mans. And then his car was ultimately disqualified for getting outside assistance. So it was a very up and down weekend for the young Frenchman.
Yeah, disappointing for him. But certainly, you know, the competition is a lot steeper here than it was in the other WeatherTech races that he's done in the LMP2 category. And it's a bit of a steep learning curve, I'm sure, for Gabriel. But, you know, he's a talented young man, so I'm sure he'll get himself up to speed. And at the moment, rounding out the field in DPI, surprisingly, is number 77 Mazda. It's Tristan Nunez driving that car at the moment. It's surprising in some way to see it eighth and last in DP, but the gap to the front is only 1.1 seconds. Plus, we often see the Mazda team concentrating more on the race than looking for ultimate pace during the practice session. So there's no doubt in my mind that we will see the Mazdas currently fifth and eighth further toward the front when we get round to qualifying, which will be tomorrow morning.
Correct. And that 77 Mazda was on pole a year ago with Ollie Jarvis behind the wheel. So we know that it can go quickly. But it was the car that finished last in the six-hour race we just had at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Two separate brake issues plaguing that car. So I'm sure the team is taking extra precautions. It's been into the pit lane five times so far during this session to try and make sure that everything is rectified from that incident the last time out.
On board here with Patrick Long, currently fifth fastest in the Wright Motorsports Porsche. That time was set by Ryan Hardwick a little while ago. That team coming off a podium finish last time out at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, their first podium of the season. So looking to keep that momentum going here at Mid-Ohio.
A very interesting performance from that Wright Motorsport Porsche. As a matter of fact, Jeremy, when I crunched the numbers at the end of the race, you had Jan Halen, who was the third driver of that crew, joined by Patrick Long. Those two drivers were well up within the top five overall of GTD drivers to set a fastest lap time. But Ryan Hardwick did struggle the whole weekend at his home track. He set the slowest fast lap time, if you see what I mean there. So it was a very odd combination, but it did ultimately work out coming home in the third position. as right now timing is showing that Bill Oberlin in the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW stopped in sector one somewhere. That's a short sector, so I'm hoping that's just a timing glitch and not more issues for the Turner Motorsport BMW. They also had brake problems during the Road Atlanta round. And now it's going again, so it was a timing glitch. Woof. Bill Oberlin fans, breathe easy.
Yeah, we've... There's improvement. I'm just going to say we haven't seen many improvements lately, but as I say that, Paul Halton improves to the seventh position in GTD with the Compass Racing McLaren on 21.2, which is within three quarters of a second of the fastest time. So remains Jack Hawksworth at 120.465. And now Dane Cameron moves up into second position overall in the number six Acura, 111.645. So just half a tenth of a second now behind Ryan Briscoe, who remains the pace setter. But still that car is on the number 10 car is back in the pit lane again for some more tweaks, perhaps, to the setup with how long to go now. Just 22 minutes remaining.
Correct, and it is still Ryan Briscoe who's being shown behind the wheel of that ConocoPhillips Cadillac as it does leave the pit lane now. I was talking to the team earlier and they were very pleased, cautiously optimistic with how this weekend could go. For Ranger van der Zande, this is one track that has been challenging for him. A best finish so far of fifth, which came back in 2018, but also the BOP in years past hasn't necessarily favored the Cadillacs. Well, I was reading an article yesterday that Acura were pleased with the BOP, Mazda was pleased with the BOP, and Cadillac, dare I say it, were pleased with the BOP. So it must mean that something is going right with an IMSA right now, if all three manufacturers are equally displeased and for once happy.
Yes, that's a happy rarity, isn't it? And you know, I think IMSA's done a really, really good job coming into this weekend. There's really been no significant changes to the balance of performance. The only real tweaks actually are to the fuel tank sizes this weekend. The Cadillac and the Mazda each have got an extra 3 liters of fuel aboard their cars, so they're up to now 79 liters for the Acura. And 81 for the Mazda. Relevant. The weights are still the same. The overall weight is the same. So just a little bit less ballast there will be aboard those two cars compared to the Cadillacs. But you know, I think they've been showing very, very equitable pace here in the first sessions. In the first session yesterday, all of the cars, all the top half dozen, I sense, second. Some problems there for Oliver Jarvis trying to work his way through some traffic. And finding the scratch of the better part of valor there.
Just losing Jeremy there.
Oh, hello, John.
Hello, Shay. RS2 is IMSA Radio FP2 for the Acura Sports Car Challenge at Mid-Ohio. A few darker clouds just beginning to threaten a wee bit. Still
I'll
that Ryan Briscoe time the best. Go on, tell me.
No, it says beautifully sunny until tonight when the sun disappears, as it is wont to do. The high of 78 degrees, so it should be a nice one. And dare I even say it, it might not be Mud Ohio this year. Tomorrow is supposed to be sunny and beautiful as well.
I'm still doing the Le Mans no rain dance, of course. Biblical rain, I seem to think somebody was saying. I can't remember who that was.
My hand up. I'll totally put my hand up on that one. And what a race it turned out to be, even though it did stay dry. But I'm cautiously optimistic that it will be a rain-free race in Ohio this weekend,
oh,
too.
Right, okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, fine. Get your wellies out, everybody.
was there any rain at all last week, John? There wasn't, was there?
No.
No.
No. At Le Mans, there was a little time when Eduardo Freitas, as a precautionary measure, declared the track wet because there was thunderstorms just to the south of the circuit, but they never actually made it to the circuit and wet the track. But he just wanted to open up the opportunity for the teams to be able to use wet weather tyres, Jeremy.
Yeah. Cool.
Right, what we've got left? 17 and a half, call it 18 minutes, shall we? It's still the two Corvettes from the two BMWs. 118.7, the best time. That was set by the number three car. Jack Hawksworth is out in the leading GTD car for Ian Vassar-Sullivan, and it's two Lexus there because Townsend Bell's just pitted, but that car has the second best time. It's a 120.4 and a 120.6. But at the top of the shop, the 111.587 from Ryan Briscoe is still the best time. And we've got a bit of a BMW photo opportunity coming down from the keyhole to the start line, as we were discussing earlier on. The M6 and the M8 now side by side. And it does take a wee while for the M8 to be able to find its legs, as it were, Jeremy, down the hill there and get past the GT Ditto on the car.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And just look at the lap times. Last lap around for Bill Oblin, I think maybe he came out of the pits on the last lap, so that wasn't a representative lap time last time around. But yeah, I mean, you know, the GTD cars, they are pretty fleet on the straight in the straight line. But certainly, Bill leaving no problem for the 24 car to go past him. Just a little while ago, the second of the Corvettes move up to second position in GTLM. Oliver Gavin turning a 118.9 against the 118.7 of Jordan Taylor a little while ago. The two BMWs then in third and fourth.
Yes. And let's see who's just...
And almost coming to the end of the time now for GTD as well, aren't we, John? Just a minute or so remaining for GTD cars.
Yes, exactly. Good point, Jeremy. So that gives the last couple of moments then for some of those cars, and at the moment most of the DPIs are in the pits, presumably getting ready to put a new set of tyres on and maybe do a little bit of a qualifying run. It's going to be quite a bit earlier than this when they qualify tomorrow, isn't it? So I'm not sure how relevant it'll be, but at least it gets them used to the logistics, Adam.
It does. With qualifying tomorrow from 8 a.m. mid-Ohio time, it's going to be a very different track, especially if the track gets a little bit cleaned off by some of the races that we're going to have later today. Now, we do have another Porsche race, so that will be Yokohama Rubber, but everything else on the track is Michelin, so it should be very grippy for qualifying tomorrow morning, despite the lower temperatures.
Yeah, that is early, isn't it? That is very early for these guys, and that means that the track, it's, you know, depending on what happened overnight, Jeremy, the track could be very different indeed.
Yeah, but it's a super early start, isn't it? 8 o'clock for qualifying? Yikes.
Yeah.
That's kind of unusual.
You are not a morning person. You are not a morning person, in fairness.
Well,
Mr. Shaw.
And I'm in California, so it's even worse for me. but even 8 o'clock, you know, for these teams, I mean, that's an early start. And you know, the good news is, I suppose, you know, this is their only session of today, so they can have a fairly leisurely evening and an early night. But still, it is a somewhat unusual schedule for this weekend. We'll see who's on their game first thing in the morning tomorrow, won't we?
Well, yes, there's no time to be, you know, scratching the back of your head, having a cup of coffee and having a chat at the water cooler or whatever racing drivers and racing teams do when they first get to work. It'll be down to business straight away. Speak to the driver in harsh tones, possibly some kind of insults towards his nearest and dearest, and send him out riled up. That's basically what you've got to do, isn't it? So then, the time on my timing screen is with 13 and a half to go. That means that we should lose the GTDs. Anybody's on a lap now will come in and leave the last 15 minutes. This is this split session that Shea was talking about earlier on. And basically what happens is the first 15 minutes are for the non-pro drivers in the Pro-Am class of GT Daytona. Then the middle section is an all-skid. And then the last 15 minutes, which we are into now, is for the two pro classes, the GT Le Mans cars, the four GT Le Mans cars this week, and the eight DPIs. No LMP2s this week. This is not part of their championship. So at the moment, the maximum amount of cars we'll have out on the Mid-Ohio circuit will be around a dozen.
Yeah, and at the moment, there's only four cars out there, maybe five. I think the number 55 car is the only Mazda that is kind of up to speed at the moment, although having said that, Oliver Jarvis just left the pit lane as well. So now, you know, track conditions are not going to get any better, and now I think it's the time to try and lay down some laps. That's exactly what Jordan Taylor has done in the Corvette car, number three. Quickest, he was already quickest in GT11, now goes faster again at 118.668. Number three Corvette. Lap. Jonathan Bonbrito was
on. Oh, a little bit of waving around there with the Wheel and Engineering Cadillac and the Corvette in close attendance. That, I think, is just out of the pits, isn't it? The Wheel and Corvette with Pipo Durrani behind the wheel. And he came up upon the Corvette. Oh, and actually, no, the other way around. There was a touch there with Pipo Durrani coming out of the keyhole just out the pits on cold tyres. No tyre warmers allowed in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And the number three Corvette with Jordan Taylor leading GTLM on a bit of a flyer, I think. And clearly, Pipo didn't want to give up the track position to the GT Le Mans car. There was a touch at the back. And I don't think people was overly happy about that.
Oh, the other way around, I would say. I think that was a very disappointing piece of driving for Pipo Durrani. You should have seen the Corvette was there. It had just turned its best lap of the race and just gone purple again in Sector 1. So I think that was a complete lack of respect there shown by Pipo Durrani.
I don't understand what was going on there.
Just not paying attention. Just not paying attention, John.
No, exactly right. With only 12 cars out there, that's not good, is it?
He probably thought, you know, with the fact that so few cars on the track, you know, there won't be a problem. There won't be anybody coming up behind me. But clearly, he didn't check his mirrors as he headed up the hill into the keyhole turn. He didn't do it on purpose. He just not paying attention.
No, indeed so. And the team will be cursing their luck that they didn't tell him on the radio, if indeed they didn't, or that perhaps they didn't wait a moment before sending him out to let the Corvette go through, because quite clearly they wanted to get people into a clearer part of the track than has happened. And now Jordan with a side-by-side moment coming towards the end of the lap in the carousel. That one went okay. That's all fine. Not very well indeed, thank you very much. And this is that car was the number 85, which I described as the bright yellow car earlier on, and of course it's not this week, it's red, white and black. So that was when we were talking about it earlier on, before I actually managed to see the car in the flesh, but with new MEP sponsorship on that car this weekend and looking very good indeed. Just from a distance, the certain angles of that car and sort of the three quarter coming towards you, There's just a hint of Peugeot 905 with the stripes on the front and the dive planes on that. Just look, my eyes.
Or even Audi, really, John.
Well, yes, one of the earlier Audis with the flat nose, yes. but I thought particularly about the older, the 905 from the mid 90s, Peugeot. There. Just if you squint a little bit, you'll have to squint a bit more, Shea, because your eyes are better than ours, of course.
Okay.
Gabriel Aubry then his last lap was a 1:14.8, so a couple of seconds off the ultimate pace here. There was an improvement actually the last two laps by Jonathan Bomarito in Mazda car number 55. He turned a 1:12.2, which that was I think it was still in fifth position, or maybe it moved him ahead of Pipo Durrani. Now they're up into third place with a 1 minute 12.009 for Jonathan Bomarito in car number 55. So it's now a Cadillac at the front. That's car number 10, Ryan Briscoe, 111.5. Second is Acura, 111.6 for Dane Cameron. It was who set that time. It's Montoya driving at the moment. And the Mazda there making it top three all different chassis at the front of the field with that 112.0.
That bodes well, doesn't it, for the race tomorrow. We're back to standard race length, by the way, for the Acura Sports Car Challenge here at Mid-Ohio tomorrow. That means 2 hours and 40 minutes for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship after the exertions of the six-hour race a couple of 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, good point. And isn't it weird though? Here we are, end of September, and we're just beginning the second half of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
This will be the sixth of 10 races for the DPIs. The GT cars have done one race more because the prototypes were not, of course, at VIR, and the prototypes won't be either at the next race, will they? Which is on the Charlotte Roval.
Yeah, that's interesting, that that track. I've seen the cup cars around there, of course, and yet to see how the sports cars will go. I believe there's going to be a Michelin tyre test. Ashir, well, you might know a little bit more about that.
There have been, every GTD car has tested at the Roval, and it has not counted against their test allotted date as far as the championship goes, because you're allowed, I believe, four test days if you're in GTD. So everyone's gotten an opportunity. The GTLM cars have gone there. The Corvettes, the Porsches, and the BMWs were all there, I want to say last week, with actually some heavy crashes from what I'm hearing from the Porsches in terms of taking a little bit too much curb and then meeting the wall. But the GTD cars seem to fare fairly well around that track. So it's going to be a fun one for sure.
Waylon Engineering 31 car going through the first corner, using about half of the yellow painted kerb as it goes up the hill in the hands of Pipo Durrani. Now up to speed through the keyhole, no signs of any meaningful damage on the back of that car, where there was the little brush earlier on with the Corvette, and certainly doesn't seem to be slowing Pipo down, getting up to speed nicely at 112.5.
Yeah, they are pretty stout, these cars, aren't they? We've seen that in the past. It takes a harder thwack than that to do any serious damage, happily, for Pipo Durrani. A couple of improvements. So Oliver Jarvis just moved the Mazda off the back of the field. A 1 minute 12.4 for him. Elio Castroneves, he had just gone into second position on the previous lap. Now he's gone to the top, though. Elio Castroneves, As the race winner for the last two rounds of the championship at where we Road America and then Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. He now goes fast as Elio Castroneves, the Brazilian, a 111.395. And for this, for Elio Castroneves, this track has lots of great memories as well, because when he first came to the United States all those years ago, his team, Tasman Motorsports, was based in a suburb of Columbus in Hilliard, Ohio, only an hour or so from the racetrack here at Mid-Ohio. So this became kind of a home track for Elio Castroneves.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but there's life in that old dog yet, isn't there? There's still plenty of racing miles at Elio Castroneves, and people would do well to remember that. I have seen certain people recently saying, well, you know, he's done and all that. But he's probably close to the end of his career, Jeremy, than the beginning of it. But here's a man who not only is still good at racing, he still loves racing. And I think those two things, certainly in his case, really go together.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, he's still as enthusiastic as he was when, you know, when I remember when he first came here. Just love this guy. He's so much fun, and he's still super fast. I mean, look, he's had a couple of poles in the last three races. He'll be getting for another one tomorrow morning. And of course, just this week, it was announced that he will be stepping in for Oliver Askew in the next two races of the NTT IndyCar Series at Indianapolis Grand Prix course next weekend. So Oliver, he's still suffering some effects. Oliver Askew is suffering from some effects from the nasty crash he had at the Speedway during the 500. He did race here at Mid Ohio a couple of weeks ago, but and also at Gateway before the Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway before that. But he was just not feeling right, and he finally went to the doctor, and he was still diagnosed as suffering from a concussion. So he'll be sitting out next weekend, and it'll be Elio Castroneves who will be stepping into that number seven car for the McLaren Schmidt team at Indianapolis.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant attitude. A lot of people would do well to see how he has constructed and continued his career. Castroneves then across the line, does not improve. He's not far off though. 111.6 to his 111.3 last time around. Had a bit of traffic that lap as well. Climbs the hill towards the keyhole. Now that puts him nearly 0.2 seconds ahead of Ryan Briscoe in second for Cadillac. It is Acura Team Penske in third before Pete Buttarani has the second of the Cadillacs. This one from Whelan Engineering, the number 31 red-white car in fourth. And the best of the Mazdas now in fifth. That's the 55 car for Jonathan Bomarito. And here he's all of 0.6 seconds away. Pete Buttarani, by the way, improving, Jeremy, last time around to under a 1 minute 12.
Yeah, that's right. So it's certainly tightening up at the front of the field there, isn't it? And also in GTLM2, Jesse Krohn improves in number 24 BMW. Third fastest now, 1:19.0. So just about a tenth of a second behind the second of the Corvettes of Oliver Gavin.
Yeah, just the two Corvettes then, as you say, just a couple of tenths apart. And we've said that many times down through the years, haven't we? They really do know how to turn out two cars. And you can say the same for BMW team RLL, Rahal Lehtinen, Lanigan. Exactly the same, barely a couple of tenths between those two. The GTD's finished a wee while ago, and we've only got 90 seconds remaining here in this session. And it was the two Lexus at the top of the times, the 14 from the 12, and they were separated again by remarkably 0.2 or nearly 0.3 of a second, actually. And then it was the Acura from Meyershank Racing with Kerb Agajanian, the number 86 car. But once again, things very, very tight indeed in the class. And the top, I'm going to say down to Alvaro Parent, the top 8 within a second, really just over. But just over. So that's exactly what we expected. GT Daytona, and at the moment 0.6 seconds separate the top five in DPI, Jeremy, and you know that again just makes me very excited about the Acura Sports Car Challenge live on RS2 and IMSA TV across the world tomorrow from Mid Ohio.
It is going to be fun. I think it's always a cool racetrack here. It's not particularly wide here. It certainly isn't the widest racetrack we go to during the IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship season, but certainly one of the most exciting. And just where the number 10 car came over that rise there at turn 7, the cars go really, really light, as in do indeed at turn 9. Now, you saw some pictures yesterday of it was the Compass McLaren lifting the front wheels as he came over that crested that rise at turn 7, like the Cadillac almost did it there as well. It's a really spectacular racetrack, and it's great for fans. I mean, you can get relatively close to the action here on different parts of the racetrack, and lots of different views available for the fans as well, as the checkered flag is out.
On a very interesting session. Yeah. Sorry, Jeremy. I took a breath there for slightly too long. We are socially distanced, of course, and it always causes one or two problems when we can't see each other. I think that was a really interesting session, if I'm honest, Jeremy, because the times that we saw there were very impressive indeed. And, you know, getting down to the sort of pace we might have expected to see later on in the weekend and possibly even in qualifying. I mean, qualifying is going to be early tomorrow, but do you think somebody could do a sub 111, a 110 something, if they get it all right tomorrow morning?
Well, you know, they did last year, and certainly no reason why they shouldn't do it again this year. I mean, it's certainly, you know, they've got a bit of time to find from where they are right now, certainly, but I think it's going to be a fascinating session tomorrow morning. And, you know, by the time the DPI cars get on track, the other two classes will have already have qualified, so there'll be some you know, a little bit more rubber laid down. The track should be cleaner, if you like, I think, than it had been than it was initially from the overnight. So I think it's going to be fun.
Shea Adam was our VP Racing Fuel pit lane reporter, and pretty quiet from all the teams, actually. They just seem to be going about their business and no real problems, and certainly no, seemingly no technical problems to report.
No, very quiet. All quiet on the Western Front, I would even say. We did not see second drivers for the number 4 Corvette. I believe that was Oliver Gavin the full time. I didn't see Tommy Milner's name listed. And we didn't see John Edwards against the 24 BMW, but I believe every other car shared between both of their drivers. So a lot of useful running during this practice session.
I can check that, but I think you are right. Let me have a look and see what the driver stints were there. Well, Antonio Garcia got in the 3 car for a little bit, but I think you're right. It was 100% Gavin, all session.
And yesterday was all Tommy Milner. So, you know,
what was the other car share that you said?
The 24 car was the other one that I said, and I've just received a text message from Ryan Smith. Thank you, Ryan, and thank you to all of our friends in PR who give us the information as quickly as they can. Ryan says, confirm, Ollie drove the entire session today. Tommy had the entire session yesterday, so Jeremy,
correct,
spot on.
Exactly. Yeah, it looked like John Edwards did a couple of laps at the start of the session for the 24 car. If what I'm saying on the timing breakdown is right, but literally only 6-7 minutes of that. Although, hang on a second.
And
it,
well, again, John, that was the same.
Didn't come out.
That was the same yesterday. Jesse Krohn did 5 or 6 laps, and then John Edwards did 25 yesterday.
Right.
So again, just maybe validating a change, perhaps they might have made overnight for John Edwards before handing that car over to Jesse for the bulk of the session.
Right. Well, there we are then. An uneventful session, which is exactly what you want in free practice too. And now the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship teams drivers. And all their connections get the remainder of the day off because they've got a very early start Sunday morning when they are qualifying at 8 a.m. in mid-Ohio time. So set your alarms for that, and you're going to have to be up with the larks and ready to rock and roll. Thank you to Jeremy Shaw, who joined me, John Heindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, and to Shea Adam, who was our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. Rob Lomas engineered us immaculately from our main control room in London. Stay tuned to RS2 IMSA Radio. We've got plenty more to come on this Super Saturday.
This program is a production of IMSA and Radio Show Limited. For more, visit RadioLeMans.com.